You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook app out there. I am your host, Rudo, joined as always by AJ Hayfley. We are here today to talk a little bit about Devontae's, his arbitration situation. To be honest with you, I'm not worried about it at all. AJ, I doubt you are either. But it's the topic going around, and the reality is the Avs have 5 days left to get a deal done before they hit that arbitration date.
Yeah, it's the story of the week until he gets a deal signed or awarded. Arbitration is on Saturday morning, and it is Monday with no deal, and we have nothing else to talk about. So,
expect for us to the off season, folks,
to talk about Devontae's once or twice this week. I would say that us waiting until 5:30 to do the show would be strategic.
Hopefully nothing gets done.
Because we are fully expecting that whenever the Avs announce that a deal has been signed, it will happen at probably 5 o'clock.
That's probably true. Before we do get to Taze, since it played so well last time, the Colorado Eagles released Hunter Miska's new pads.
Oh, so good, dude. All
right? They are just knocking these pads out of the park this year. It's been some pretty stuff.
I mean, really, this started with Spencer Martin and the Colorado, when he had the C logo on his pads. Like, that was when these guys really started to lean into it a little bit.
Up their game.
Yeah, and now this year with these two, with Werner and Miska, it's like
going all out.
Yep, these guys get it.
Yeah, I'd say there's like a decent percentage this happens, Grant.
Oh, yeah. In which case, we're not doing an emergency pod.
No.
We will wait until tomorrow.
Unless he signs something like astronomical.
Right. Unless it is seriously a 7-year deal worth $5 million per. Yep. We're not doing an emergency pod.
Yep. Not happening. But
the line for me is probably 4 years and under.
4 years and like $4.5 million, I'd say.
Anything over, anything 5 to 7 gets an emergency pod. Anything 4 and less.
It's fine.
We still have to fill time.
That's true. We got 5 shows a week.
Yeah. And our original plan for this week is not going to happen. So we're already doing this on the fly this week. So we kind of need his signing to get us through one of these days.
So I guess let's start with this, since the arbitration conversation is the talk. We don't really know how far they are apart. The numbers there haven't really come out. They probably won't come out, assuming a deal gets done. But it's an interesting conversation for someone like Taze going into arbitration because, one, he really only has one and a half full seasons, close to two full seasons, played in the NHL.
Yep.
Both of those were not with the Avalanche.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're trying to assess value of the player in an arbitration case, it's very tough.
It is. You're looking at 116 NHL games played.
Yep.
Like, it's not a lot, a track record here. And what complicates this with Taves is that he's 26.
Right.
And because he is eligible for unrestricted free agency next summer, he cannot be awarded a multi-year deal.
Yep. Has to be 1 year.
He can only be given a one-year deal. These are all things the Avs knew going into the trade.
Right.
So there are no surprises here. I've spent a better part of the day going through arbitration back into the 90s, as deep as they have records for it. And I could not find a single case. I could have just missed it, because trying to dig these things up is difficult.
When you're weeding through a bunch of AHL dudes trying to find guys.
I was trying to find a case where a team and a player went through the arbitration hearing that they had just traded for. Like, they had no, he hasn't played for them. They have no history. The start of their relationship is literally an arbitration hearing. Because it's kind of awkward. These two sides, arbitration is all about arguing value against the other side.
Yep.
So, you know, you usually use contract comparables, but you also argue value to the team. Were Devon Taves still an Islander, he would be arguing his value to the Islanders. Hey, I run one of your power play units.
I scored 28 points for you last year.
Right. I scored 28 points on a really low scoring team. Not only that, but I scored 10 points in 22 playoff games. And in 2 years, I have 15 points in 30 playoff games. I have been very productive in the postseason. And since coming up and getting into the NHL, I've only gotten better and been more and more productive with more ice time. Not only that, my underlying numbers are all fantastic. So
the other side of that conversation, though, now is, let's look at the Colorado Avalanche. Probably not going to be on the power play, or if he is, would be the third D next to Sam Girard on PP2.
Will not be featured on a power play, no matter what. Even if he and Girard are running PP2 by them with, you know, together, will not be featured. Will be one of the guys on the power play.
Yep.
Not a featured player. And his argument could easily be, well, I'm going to be on a much higher scoring team.
Yeah.
You can take the 28 points that I scored in the regular season and say, that's what I'm going to put up at even strength.
But
to start with,
I do think the most interesting conversation from the Avs side of this is arbitration hearings aren't really caught up with the times. Like, yeah. These can say, yes, I have great underlying numbers, but the arbitrator isn't allowed to take advantage into account when assessing a contract value.
Yeah, those kinds of fancy stats aren't something that the Avs can present.
Right. So, I think that could hurt Taze's contract value, to be honest, more than
it should, because then you're primarily looking at 46 points in 116 regular season games and 15 points in 30 playoff games.
Yep.
And it's just too short of a track record for you to say this is a $5 million player.
Yep.
It's also awkward because the team is saying, we went out and got, he's not on his honeymoon anymore. He's back. He got back last week. But it's like he goes to a club. So the Avs are going to go to arbitration and they're going to say, you're not worth X amount of dollars. Even though we just gave 2 second round picks for you and we absolutely think you're going to be part of our top four this season as we contend for a Stanley Cup. But you're not worth that money.
Yeah.
And Taves is going to be like, okay, well, you guys just traded for me to try and be part of one of the last pieces that you put in place for a Stanley Cup contender.
Yeah.
Well, what are we doing here?
Right. It's
it's not just that too. It's with the 1 year deal. If the Avs gave up 2 second round picks to walk a guy to free agency in a year, it's just a bad look. And, you know, maybe he ends up signing again, but
really bad business.
Look. Yeah.
It's really bad business. One of the things that we talked about with both the Saad deals, you know, with the Saad deal, we're saying it's a 1 year deal. Even if he leaves in free agency, keeping him in free agency would be tight. But even if he leaves in free agency, Alex Newhook is likely going to be joining the roster. There's a decent chance this guy can get replaced internally. And at 27, there's also a decent chance that as the sixth top six forward, you'd rather an ELC than pay a guy to go into his 30s anyway. So at forward, you're having that conversation, and you're all, also, we only gave up Zadorov and Anton Lindholm, guys that we replaced internally with no problem.
It's a different value proposition as well. When they acquired Saad, they knew he only had 1 year left on his deal. With Taze, exactly. You're going into that expecting to wrap him up for multiple years.
Yeah. And so now with Taves, though, you're saying, okay, 2 second round picks, if that guy leaves in a year, he's gone before the first one of those picks is even made by the Islanders.
Yep.
And that's like 2 second round picks for a top four defender is easy value. You say yes to that. But if it's only for 1 year, it really loses.
You better win that cup.
A lot of it. That's all I'm saying. Straight up. You look at Tampa Bay. You look at the situation that they're in. You look at what they gave up. First round picks for Coleman. First round picks for Barclay Goudreau. Like, lots of value given up. Arguably three, because Nolan Foote was the prospect in the Coleman deal.
Yep.
A lot given up and to get those guys. Definitely. But they won the cup, and you don't feel regret when you win the cup.
100%.
You just don't. They're not feeling bad about any of the decisions that they made. So
it's a lot easier to feel good about everything after you lift the cup.
So. Yeah. Like, they win the cup, and Bogosian and Shattenkirk, those dudes go out into free agency and get deals and get paid somewhere else, and they're like,
bye. Thanks for the cup.
Yeah, see ya. Like, good luck. It's fine, right? Like, you're okay with that, but you have no guarantees. We're sitting here today. They don't get a long-term deal in place. They don't even get a multi-year deal in place with Taves. And they even get to this arbitration hearing, and it's a failure on some level.
For sure.
It's not doomsday scenario. It's not, oh my God. But this is, you know, there are no surprises here. They knew that he filed for arbitration when they traded for him. They knew how old he was. They knew what his situation was. That's as simple, like, there are no surprises. This is an entirely upfront situation. They have to know, and they're in a situation here where Joe Sakic has this reputation as this master dealer, right? This, oh man. And he gets to these guys for steal of contracts. Well, the contracts have always kind of been the area where Sakic has given a little. You know, where
down the lineup, Confer, Donskoy, like a Matt Calvert, probably a little Graves. Bit overpaid. Graves, yep, Nichushkin.
Yeah, and then you're talking, he'll draw a hard line, he'll offer $6.5 million to Taylor Hall in free agency.
Yep.
Now, granted, Taylor Hall chose an extra $1.5 million to play in Buffalo and not Colorado, and that's on him. Whatever, right? Like, the point is that Sakic in the front office kind of draws their line in the sand. This is a situation, Devon Taves has all the leverage for all the reasons that we've talked about in this segment. Is, you know, Taves only has 1 year. He can easily go to arbitration, get his 1 year deal, whatever it is. It's going to be a nice raise from what he was making, and then go into free agency and get paid. I mean, as much as free agency, the numbers were down this year across the board, defenders still got paid.
Yep.
Chris Tanev got $4.5 million over 4 years. TJ Brody got $5 million over 4 years, 5 years. Obviously, Petrangelo got the huge deal. Brendan Dillon got 4 years at 3.9. Those guys all made plenty of money. And for a guy like Devon Toews, who was in the AHL 2 years ago, this is life-changing money for him. So he could easily just say, I'll take my 1 year. I'll take my 1 year on this loaded team where I'm going to put up enough points to get paid next year. And I'm going to have all the great underlings, and I'm going to do all the things that I'm going to do to help this team. And I'm going to walk into free agency as the top defenseman next year. I mean, that's where he is right now. He can easily just decide to do that.
And I think that was kind of the one question mark from the beginning with this trade is what did Toews want as far as the contract is concerned into the coming season? Because we already knew he had filed for arbitration with New York.
Yep.
So it was clear that, and that situation is murky too, because New York didn't have the money to sign him regardless.
Right. I mean, they could go over the cap for right now and whatever and give them they're still in trouble. Even without Toews, they're still in trouble.
So from the outside perspective, you're trying to figure out, okay, was that an arbitration because Toews wants more money? Was that an arbitration just because of the situation in New York? Don't know. He was on his honeymoon when the trade was made, so realistically, Avs probably weren't talking to him directly if New York gave him permission to do that until after the trade was done, obviously, but
it's, even if they hadn't had the conversation, as soon as they made the trade, they got in touch with the agent and they said, all right, what are we kind of looking at here?
For sure.
You know, and we know that they've been having conversations with Landeskog and his agent. They've got to balance both of those things. If both of these guys are looking at multi-year contracts that start next season, they need to know how much those are going to be. They need to put both of those puzzle pieces together.
Yep.
And then keep in mind, you know, you still have Makar, you still have Saad. If you guys want, if they wanted to bring those guys back, they also will have a Tyson Jost contract next year that they will have to figure out as well.
Yeah, the full picture of a cap hit is a lot of moving pieces, but we do need to take our first period break and tell you guys about WGT Golf, the golf game loved by more than 20 million players around the world. You can play on your phone or on your computer, however you prefer, whatever you want to do. We just finished up a tournament this weekend, the Pumpkin Spice Open. Yeah, I don't even know who won. It wasn't me. I did not have a good round, I'll tell you that right now, but somebody managed to top everyone at DNVR. And if you want to join in on the tournament fun, you can go to dnvrgolf.com to download and search for DNVR3 to join our third clubhouse with more than 700 members that play along with us. So jump on in. You can play true to life courses, a bunch of different game styles as well. So should be a bunch of fun, has been a bunch of fun. Of course, we also have Breckenridge Brewery. If you want to sip on a beer while you're playing your WGT round, they are my go-to. You can get 8 different kinds on tap down at the DNVR bar, or you can always go to the farmhouse down in Littleton and get it straight from the source where they have dozens of flavors. You can even get $5 off when you go down there and get curbside pickup when you use code DNVR. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Favorite time of year trick or arbitration. I like that. Do we fully expect the deal will be multi-year? If it gets done before arbitration, anything less than 3 would be pretty disappointing, to be honest.
Yeah.
So
even a 2-year deal, because they've done a lot of 2-year deals, and they've, you know, like with Burakovsky's deal.
Yep.
You know, if you were to look at kind of their cap sheet in the next couple of years, that's when Burakovsky's deal expires, Kadri's deal expires, Nichushkin's deal expires. So that would give them, like, again, it would mean that they would have a lot of work to do in 2 years.
Yep.
But it would give them an idea of how all these pieces fit together. And I personally really like the idea of a team kind of committing to mini windows like this, with 2 or 3, you know, going in like 2 to 4 years
and having a bit of a reset.
Yeah. Well, and seeing how it works instead of constantly handing out 6-year deals to guys, because you look at what Nashville has gone through. They're now on the hook for Kyle Turris for 8 years.
Yep.
At $2 million. And then like $2 million isn't like, oh my God, that's not cap breaking, But that's 8 years where that's $2 million they can't spend.
Yeah.
It's for almost an entire decade.
They'll never be able to sign that Taylor Hall guy in free agency because
and if they do, it's because they continue to buy guys out. It's because they continue to blow through dead money. And where Colorado's approach has been different so far, you know, even Rantanen, a six-year deal.
Yep.
And you know, that leaves a couple of years on the table. And if you really look at how they're set up right now, it's the next 3 years and then go from there. But before then, they have big decisions. But because the prospects system is where it is, where they have so many guys that could come in, you know, what if Sampo Ranta is the real deal? And 2 years from now, do you need to sign Burakovsky to a huge extension? What if that guy just comes in and he's like, by the way, I'm a cheaper Andre Burakovsky?
And I think that's kind of the point that we're digging at here is the Avs organizationally, forwards are more replaceable than defensemen for them right now. Yes, they have Bowen Byram. Yes, they have Justin Barron. Yes, they have Connor Timmins. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have a whole lot of high-end depth in their defensive prospects beyond that.
Right.
Whereas on the forward side, Kout's coming, Bowers is coming, Newhook is coming. And then beyond that, you have the Rantas, you have the Tyler Wieses, the Colby Ambrosios, whoever you want to call it.
Right, Bocages and all those guys we talked about last week that could be intriguing forwards, a Nikolai Kovalenko coming over. Yeah.
And I at least have more faith in that forward core to produce an NHLer or two of their depth prospects or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah. I think they have to, man. They're too good.
Right, exactly. So like,
that group is just too good. Between Jean-Luc Foudy and Ryder Ralston and Ambrosio and all those guys that they just added, even, there are too many good forward prospects for them to not even get a low-end, a bottom-six NHL player out of that group.
Yeah, and that's just kind of where the conversation, as someone who loves Andre Burakovsky at this team, wanted to sign him long term.
Mm.
Still think he's more replaceable than a Taze.
Oh, definitely, because you're talking about like with Burakovsky right now. If you were to rank Colorado's top six forwards, he's probably five.
Yep.
And like that's not a knock against him. It's just that the guys in front of him, you know, Kadri's more valuable simply because he's the center. He wins faceoffs and he brings a certain nastiness to your lineup that you just need.
I mean, depending on how Saad plays, you could make an argument that he's six. Burakovsky, that is.
Yeah, depending on, I think as of right now, just because we know how Burakovsky fits, sure. Probably five, but like five at highest.
Yep.
Out of six.
Yeah.
So you're talking about like, is he valuable? Of course he is. Yes. But more replaceable than Taves, who is going to be in the top four. Now, you fast forward 2 years. You give Taves a two-year deal. Burakovsky's on a two-year deal. You fast forward those 2 years, that might not be the case anymore. You know, Bowen Byram might, you fully expect, will be in that top four next to Cale Makar and Sam Girard. That only leaves one open job in your top four.
Yeah,
you know, and if Connor Timmins or if something crazy has happened and Justin Barron has taken that job, then Devon Taves now is more replaceable 2 years from now than he is today. So there's, you know, we're talking about multi-year deals, but there's some serious logic, especially in a flat cap world where you're not being forced to make these big monetary commitments to kind of like your secondary core guys.
Yeah.
Not like your core, but like those secondary pieces that you need to have.
I mean, make no mistake, it is very tough to gauge value on these guys long term, and it is the type of thing that can make or break a team's cap hit. If you decide to go short term on Taze and then all of a sudden he's still part of your top four in 2 or 3 years and he's going to say, all right, well, I want $7 million now. Because I've been a top four defenseman for you.
Yeah, then you're moving on.
Right. So it's there's give and take to giving a short-term deal where if they are replaceable, great. If they're not realistically replaceable, you're either going to end up with a hole in your lineup or you're going to end up overpaying someone.
Right. And that's where I think this Taves contract, we've just kind of assumed it was going to happen. And now that we're in the last week of leading up to arbitration, we can really kind of dig into it.
Yep.
And I think it's an interesting contract. It's in you and I were just sorting out comparables and all that, which I imagine
we'll get into. Yep.
Yeah. But it's his importance to Colorado. Like right now it's purely theoretical. Yep. And that's where Colorado will have an advantage walking into arbitration.
Yep.
The advantage for Colorado is that if they go through arbitration, the money probably won't be very high. The advantage for Taves is that he's guaranteed a 1-year deal and then he gets to go to free agency.
Yeah. Right.
And that's scary for the Avs.
It would feel bad to have this player for 1 year, but I do wonder why the Avs would see value in letting it go to arbitration. Like you said, if Taze says, you know what, I want to go to free agency and play the 1 year and get paid, then it is what it is. But
yeah, if he says the only way I'll do a multi-year deal is if we'll do 5 years plus at $5+ million, and the Avs are like, well, okay, well, we're not doing that.
But if there's any sort of middle ground that they can find in a conversation, yeah. In a contract conversation, I have to think something gets done.
Before. I mean, 3 years right at $4 million is fine. Like,
yeah.
There's your sweet spot. I think that makes it probably a little too team friendly because that gets Taves to 29.
Sure.
But teams aren't afraid of those guys the way that people on the internet like us are. You know, we see, well, because if you offer Sheet a guy, then they match it.
Yeah. That,
and then they have the contract and then they can trade him to anybody else in the league that they want to, knowing what that number will be.
You also he would have had to agree to the offer sheet. The player has right. to agree to that number. So
yeah, you can't just throw an offer sheet at a guy and say, you've been offer sheeted. This was the problem with Braden Point last year. And is that a lot of people talked about offer sheeting Braden Point. He didn't want to sign one.
And for the record, to have a successful offer sheet on Taze, you're probably looking at the range of 4.363 to 6.5. And that would be giving up a first and a third. Whereas the Avs gave up 2 seconds for him.
Even if you offered below that and it was just what's the compensation below that?
1 second.
1 second?
Yep.
Even if you did that.
If you did that, New York 100% matches.
Yeah. Like, well, they would match. And then if it's say it's just a $3.8 million deal for 3 years.
Yep.
Great. He signed that offer sheet. They matched it. And then they turned around and they just traded him to somebody else who's willing to pay the extra value because
now the contract is signed. Yeah.
Now the contract is signed. They have that guy for multiple years.
So they get a first for him that way.
And you're out of gee, we tried. So yep. Instead of messing with that, they gave up an extra second round pick to go through this process with him.
Yep.
An easy yes.
Value decision. Yep.
Yeah. An easy yes. The idea of offer sheeting mid tier guys, I hate wasting time on offer sheets because they're just not real, but it's teams have all the incentive to just say yes.
Unless you're wildly overpaying a dude, they get matched, period.
Right. Like even a team that is completely up against it right now, you go and you offer sheet Eric Chernak, they'll find a way.
Again, the reality is they'll get more value for the guy trading him on his new contract than they will for the offer sheet.
Yep.
So
I wish to be honest with you, if GMs treated offer sheets the way that offer sheets were designed to be treated, you guys would be 100% right.
But
that being predatory on RFAs like that would be a beautiful way to live. I would be all about being that team that just waits to take advantage of RFAs in sticky situations. Last year with Winnipeg, Kyle Connor and Patrick Laine sat on the market all summer long. I would have 100% tried to take advantage of that. But GMs just don't take them seriously. They view them as like a, it's almost like a good guy test. And anybody that uses an offer sheet is a bad guy.
Now we don't like him anymore.
Right. Now he's the bad guy. And like the one offer sheet that we've seen in the last few years was that joke of an offer sheet that Montreal sent to Sebastian Aho last year. Yep. That Carolina looked at and was like, well, we're going to match this, of course. Thank you for doing all the negotiating for us.
Yep.
It was too good of a deal. It was too easy for them to say yes to.
Yep.
And that's the at the higher levels, it's impossible to get a team to say, we'll take the picks. Even when Philadelphia signed Shea Weber to that 14-year contract that has a good chance to come back to bite Nashville in the ass via the recapture penalties, they had to say yes.
Yep.
And it's crazy to me that they turned Shea Weber into whoever they use that second round pick that they got for PK
Subban. Yeah, I don't, nothing good.
They are also anti paperclip.
The reverse. No, strategy.
I would love, like, I would absolutely love to be predatory with offer sheets the way that, like, we think teams should be. And the only reason I dismiss them the way that I do is because teams don't view them as a legitimate weapon.
Well, again, even with the cap conversation, you sign him to the contract and then you dump him somewhere.
Yeah. So like if going back to the Isles situation, knowing that the Isles have Barzal and Pulak also still sitting there, what they could have done is, I guess they could have tried to sign both guys, tried to sign two of them.
Sure.
And
do the double offer sheet and make them pick or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you can't really, because they're, you have to have the picks available to you. Right. So you wouldn't, you know, but it would be like,
this is the true story of why Ottawa picked up 4 seconds and then they just couldn't figure out if they wanted to offer sheet.
that's right. But yeah, like if you were to do that with the Isles, if you were to go back and you, the Isles match a Taves deal. Okay. Well, the Taves deal is on the books. Then they still have Barzal. Then I guess you go out and you sign Matt Barzal to an offer sheet too. And then you're like, you trade us Devon Taves for a second round pick. At that point, Lou Lamoriello probably just hates you and won't do business with you.
Yeah. It's a quick way to burn a bridge.
Exactly. He's got 29 other franchises that he's going to be able to do business with. And once Devon Taves gets that, even if once he's under contract,
well, because
he's got value again.
How long do you have to match an offer sheet? It's more
7
than
7 days.
Yeah, so they have a whole week to just go, who wants Taze?
Right. Like they're like, look, we're going to match this, but he's immediately on the market. Come and give us your best offers.
Yeah.
So, the giving up 2 second round picks for the guy was perfect value. It's a great deal. Because you have to imagine they were trying to get a first. And Colorado was like, look, we don't trade firsts anymore. We're just not in that business. But we'll give you 2 seconds.
All right.
So, yeah, me in full predatory GM mode, if I had no repercussions of other GMs going after me and I was running an organization, yeah, I would be brutal with it. I would constantly be trying to use it.
All right. Meme Masters. Red Wings logo dead on the ground with a vulture with AJ's face circling it. Like,
yeah, if that was the way that the world worked, yeah, I would be that guy.
Okay. We do need to take our second period break here. Get back on track. Talk about some comparables with Taze in the third period. But first, of course, we have our favorite Dravacraft coffee. The CBD-infused coffee. Pause for effect, AJ.
You
pause
put me in suspense effect. There. What was our favorite?
It's Dravacraft coffee. Get never a cold brew. Down at the bar, as I start to lose my voice here, if you want to try before you buy, when you love it, you can get 20% off online at StravaCraftCoffee.com when you order. They have a bunch of awesome flavors. Marshmallow. I think they have a pumpkin spice flavor, but I'm not 100%. if you basic.
I came very close to getting my first ever PSL today.
Yeah, really?
I came very close because I was cold and I was pissed. And I was looking for something to warm the cockles of my heart. And then I remembered.
You were that close.
Yeah, then I remembered I have some tea upstairs, so I went and did that instead.
Well.
By the way, tea is gross.
I agree, 100%.
I tried so hard. I'm sorry. I just can't do it.
My wife drinks it all the time and loves it, and I'm like, no. No, thank you. Give me Strava Craft coffee instead.
I'm constantly looking for Mountain Dew alternatives because I would love to cut soda out of my consumption habit because it's so bad for you.
Right.
But finding caffeine to get me up after that because I don't drink coffee. And people are always like, oh, well, why don't you try drinking tea? And then it's like, okay, well, the only way that I can make tea drinkable is if I dump a bunch of sugar in it. And at that point, I'm drinking soda.
Yeah, my... So I used to drink soda all the time, and then for a while I started drinking Monster Energy drinks instead, which I still really like, but
yeah,
my wife is like, those things will kill you twice as fast as soda does. So
they literally have a warning on them, dude, yeah. Where it's like, if you drink more than three of these in a 24-hour period, like, you put your heart at risk.
Yeah. So it's a lose-lose, I guess. Instead, yeah. Drink Strava Craft coffee and mellow out a little bit. Get your chill on. It'll help with aches and pains all over the place. So can't recommend it enough. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook with Rudo and AJ. So let's dive into these comparables. And kind of as we talked about on the top of the show, there's not any great comparables. There are some that are probably in the ballpark.
Yeah. And you know, the really, I would say the Grzelcyk deal that Boston just signed is pretty close.
Yep.
And even then, it's flawed because Grzelcyk has largely been a third pairing defenseman, is more of a defensive guy. He's got almost double the games played.
Yep.
And so it's just, you know, the offensive production is close, but he has a bunch of games played, and he's a third pairing defenseman. Good underlying numbers, a good player. I think one of the more underrated defenders in the league, just in terms of raw defense. I've always really liked his game, but none of what I just said described Devontaeves.
Right. Yeah, it's, and for the record, he signed a 4-year deal at 3.68. million.
Yep, so. 3.687500. Jesus, how do you come up with these numbers?
Round it up to 3.7 if you want, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's probably, I mean, this is the hard part, is there is more track record, but you're probably talking about someone on the lower side of what Taze is going to provide.
Right. This is, I mean, this Grzelcyk deal is kind of like, I think it's like a great what Ryan Graves' next deal looks like.
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of player and role that we're talking about.
Yep. I think actually that's, he'd be a perfect comparable for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why using it as a Taves comparable is like, okay, if you're going to use that, you have to do it knowing and understanding that Taves is getting paid more than that. He's going to get paid more than the 3.7 because he just produces more offense. He drives more offense. He's a more dynamic player on the back end than this guy is. They're the same age, but Grzelcyk also has twice the track record. He's 197 games.
Yeah, just shy of 200. Yeah.
Yeah, to Taves is what,
116, I think.
16. Yeah, to his 116. So it's not quite double, but it's close enough.
I think you can kind of have this same conversation with the contract that Will Butcher signed. Butcher signed a 3-year deal at 3.733. But whereas Grzelcyk's offense doesn't live up to Taze, Butcher's defense isn't going to live up to what Taze is providing.
Right, and the production at 74 points for Butcher is a lot higher, with the caveat that he has gotten worse every year.
Yeah.
He had the big-time rookie year. He had 44 points. largely driven by his first 2 months in the NHL, where he had something like 25 points in his first 2 months.
Super power play productive as well.
And then completely fell off a cliff. So, yeah. You know, Michael, I think that the 4 by 4.5, the more I've looked at it, it's probably just a little high. That was my guess coming into this. But the more that we started digging into comparables, the more I was like,
well, let me ask you this then. If 4 by 4.5 gets it done before arbitration, do you still do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I would try, I mean, we always have these nitpicks, right? Where it's like, you'd be a lot more comfortable at 4.2.
You sign the 4 by 4.5 at the 11th hour because you have to do it.
Because you don't want to give him a 1 year, $3.7 million deal to go into free agency, right, to then go get a 5 year deal at $5.5 million in on the open market. Yep. And you just lost the player. Yeah, of course. You definitely do that. But in terms of what term the Avs should be looking for, there's a reason we're talking about these mid-level deals here.
3 years, 4 years type guys. Yes.
Yeah. Because he's already 26. So you don't want to buy too many of those 30-year-old years. But he's never played for you. He has 116 NHL games played in the regular season. Like, you do still have to kind of be like, hey, we love what he's done in the NHL. He's gotten better, but he is 26. This is not a 23-year-old just breaking out here, where you think the next 3 to 5 years are going to be the absolute best he'll ever be, like you do with Burakovsky, right?
Yep.
It's a little different. At 26 already, you think 5 years from now, he's probably already on his decline. And so you have to be careful paying for that. You want to guard against that. And as we talked about earlier in the show, if Bowen Byram becomes what you think he is capable, Connor Timmins, you know, becomes what you think he's capable of becoming. If Justin Barron does, if you give him a 5 year deal, Justin Barron is in this conversation by the end of that deal. If those guys live up to potential, those guys become top four defenders, then you have Devon Taves as sort of this just sticking out here as this guy that you overpaid a little bit because you needed him right then, but you didn't guard against future success.
I think Justin Barron specifically is the reason that I'm really comfortable with the 3 or 4 year deal.
Yeah.
Because you look at Bowen Byram, that's a dude who's very likely to be in the lineup this year. Certainly next the 2021-22 season, he will be.
Hey, we should. Will certainly be no keeping him out of that lineup.
Yeah. So that's someone that's going to impact your lineup now. But the two things you know for sure, Cale Makar and Sam Girard are not going anywhere.
Yep.
So if you have Taze sitting in the top four for the next 3 years until Justin Barron is ready to go to the NHL, or if he's on the super fast track, maybe he's ready for the top four by then. It's a pretty easy transition of, as you put it, a secondary core type player.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it just makes sense from that regard.
The other thing is on a 3 or 4 year deal, like you're open to the idea that Connor Timmins steals ice time if he just plays really, really well.
Yep.
And that's like this year, you're thinking Devon Taves is a no doubt about it top four player for the Avs.
But the year after and
certainly even starting year,
yeah.
Even starting in the fall of 2021,
yep.
That certainty is gone. Just because the talent behind him is going to push. That's it. That's the only reason. And that's why, you know, 5 years, I'm not going to throw a fit, but.
Well, and there's a little bit of balance there, right? Because if you do a 3 year deal, you know, whose contract is going to be up in 3 years, Bowen Byram's.
Nathan McKinnon's.
Obviously McKinnon's the big one, but if we're looking at the defense specifically, in the immediate, you're going to have Connor Timmins and Bowen Byram on cheap deals.
Yeah, Eric Johnson's deal's up then, too.
So you kind of look at a defensive reset in 3 years a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I have no issues with that. Graves' deal is up then, too.
Yep.
So then you can completely reassess your entire defense and be like, okay, well, now the money has to go here, and this guy's got that, and this guy's got that. Who knows what the cap is done by then, TV deals. Seattle's expansion, et cetera. Are they back to even? Have they, you know, we're moving forward? What's going on? Are we in year four of a flat cap, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
I mean, that the conversation we haven't touched on this show is the flat cap and everything else going on, making not just comparables, but just signing contracts in general, incredibly difficult for teams to get correct value.
It's causing some problems because the teams are looking at the flat cap and they're saying, well, we can't keep giving guys raises with the expectation that the cap goes up $2 million every year. Yeah, because that's kind of where teams operate. They just assume the cap will go up about $2 million every year. So we sign a $4 million contract, and by the third year, the contract pays for itself.
Yep.
And great.
And we've seen both sides win and lose here. We've seen teams overpay guys, but we've also seen guys like Matt Nieto get league minimum contracts.
Yep. And we wondered, like, we talked a lot about leading up to this, which guys are going to get squeezed.
Yep.
There were going to be some guys that got squeezed. Taylor Hall didn't get squeezed. Alex Pietrangelo didn't get squeezed. Mike Hoffman did. Now, you know, Hoffman could still sign a $5.5 million deal over 4 years or whatever and get paid just fine. And it ends up being more of a waiting game than anything else for him. But for the moment, the quality of players that are still sitting out on the open market, like, We could be 2 months from Mikael Granlund taking a 1 year, $1 million deal with the Edmonton Oilers.
Yep.
That's the kind of talent that's still just sitting out there where these guys are like, no, I'm not going to take that deal until I absolutely have to. And teams can wait these guys out knowing that, what is it, like something like 90% of cap space in the NHL is already spent? Yeah,
there's not a ton of cap space left in the outside of Detroit, Ottawa, and New Jersey. There's just not much cap space out there.
And even with New Jersey, $17 million in cap space, they only have 16 guys right now signed.
Yep. That's true.
So, you know, there are still teams that have work to do here. You know, you look at how many teams there are? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There are 8 teams with more than $10 million available right now.
Yep.
There are 7 teams who are already over the cap. And that does not include Winnipeg, who is $27,000 from the cap right now.
And you're looking at some of those teams that have all that space, not quite $10 million, but New York Islanders, they have almost $9 million in space, but all of that is going to Matt Barzal, basically.
Right. And they've got Barzal and Pulak.
Yeah.
And it's like those guys are going to be $14 or $15 million.
The Rangers, who are $10.5 million in space, have to re-sign Ryan Strome, have to re-sign Brendan Lemieux. So these teams are talking about getting their internal stuff done, not going out and getting free agents necessarily.
Yeah, and you're even Boston with $6 million has Jake DeBrusque sitting there.
Yep.
Where it's like he should take up a healthy chunk of that. And if Chara wants to come back, you know, the Avs, we're talking about the Avs. They've got $5.9 million in space. All right, well, Devon Taves is going to take up the majority of that. And then the rest of it will be either ELCs or LOC.
Yep. So it's getting tight quickly, certainly.
Yeah. And this is the entire league is in this situation where, like, Detroit's the only one. They're sitting there with $18 million in cap space, and they're like, look, you guys just want to keep giving us picks to take on your bad contracts like Mark Stahl.
Fine.
Shop's open, fellas. Like,
about to rack up some serious pickage, perhaps.
Yeah, well, and then they turn around and flip all those guys at the deadline for more picks.
Yep, exactly.
Like, it's the most predictable thing. Mark Stahl getting traded at the deadline with 50% retention on Detroit's end.
For like a second or third round pick.
Yeah, even like a fourth where it's like they got a second and a fourth to employ this guy. And retain now, money on him for
the rebuild for value games. Right there. Yeah.
That's where Detroit is with that $18 million. Like, you want to dump money on it. Like, Colorado don't have any second round picks left, so they can't attach a second round pick to say, hey, take Eric Johnson $6 million off our hands.
Yep.
Not that the Avs
do that anyway, but yeah.
Well, and like, what would they even do with it? They would just have the cap space at that point. They couldn't, there wouldn't be a reason for them to spend that.
Unless it's like Taylor Hall wants, specifically says he wants to come to Colorado at the end of next season or something.
Well, and I mean, like this offseason, the only thing that you would spend that money on would be another defender. And it's like,
DJ's just fine.
like it's fine.
Yeah.
Worry about this later.
Yep. All right. So I think we're kind of winding down the pod here, but.
Yeah, we got into like two comparables, and that's because there just aren't that many. Colin Miller from 2018, when he signed with Vegas at 4 years, 3.875. That's right in that wheelhouse.
Yep.
Marcus Pedersen's deal with Pittsburgh that he signed earlier this year, 5 years at just over $4 million. As a defensive guy, like, kind of right in that wheelhouse, but you really don't want to be using Pittsburgh and under Jim Rutherford
to just
for away contract money. Comps. You really, like, you've got to be like, ugh, I don't like that so much.
That's the same guy who signed Jack Johnson for an eternity at $3.25 million.
A 5 year deal.
And then bought it.
Yeah. A year later, like. Everybody was like, what are you doing signing that? And he's like, well, you got to get the guys you got to get, right? And then whatever. Anyway, point being, there aren't a lot of great contract comps because guys like Devon Taves just don't happen very often.
Yep.
Most of these guys blossom by the time they're 23, 24 years old.
Yep.
They come into the league. Like, your late blooming defenders are like 24.
Yep. Like a Ryan Graves.
Yeah. And it really, and like Ryan Graves is like the more normal of the two because he's like a bottom pairing-ish guy.
Right. He blossomed into an NHLer, not a top end type of guy.
Yeah. And right. And like Devon Taves is a legit, like, really good second pairing defender.
Yep. And it's tough because the lack of track record.
Yeah, it's an awkward position for all of them. You know, I kind of was joking about it on Twitter today where it was like, it's kind of like if you get into this weird, like, arranged marriage. And it's like, hey, we're going to get married, but you have to sign a prenup that basically says we're not splitting any of our stuff when we get divorced, which we are already planning to do. Also, we're not changing last names. We're not sharing anything, but we're really excited to be in this marriage for however long it lasts.
I mean,
and it's just sort of a super awkward way to, like, start the relationship.
Well, you know, AJ, what would make that marriage less awkward?
What's that, Rudo?
Certainly, at least make things look a little bit better in the bedroom. Manscaped would be perfect for that. As you know what, I don't know how long your marriage is going to last, but at least you can make it look good, keep it fun in the bedroom. When you get 20% off at manscaped.com using code DNVR20, you can get their whole package, the perfect manicure 3.0 kit, where you can take care of your pubic hair, your normal hair, your beard hair, you name it. They got you covered on all of that. Or you can just go and buy any of their awesome products, whether it be breath mints, whether it be shave mats, whether it be cologne, deodorant, anti-chafe for your nether regions, you name it. They have it all covered for you. So head on over to manscaped.com and get that 20% off with code DNVR20 and help save your arranged marriage or something. I guess that's going to wrap up the show for today. Appreciate all y'all watching, listening, however you consume the podcast, especially hanging out in chat live with us. Always a fun time talking with y'all. We appreciate it. If you want to join in on the fun, head on over to YouTube. Follow our channel at DNVR Sports. We go live 5 days a week. So, yeah, it's a fun time. Be sure to subscribe, and I guess we will catch the rest of y'all tomorrow.